All right, let's turn to Psalm 100. This week is Thanksgiving, and as you're turning to Psalm 100, I'm going to talk for just a quick moment about a verse in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It's a verse that marks out the last days, and we are in the last days. And when you take a look at Romans and the Romans chapter 1, the Romans explanation of why people turn away from God, you have people that are turning to the love of self and to the love of their own gender rather than normal love for male and female. You've got a perversion that takes place, and homosexuality that takes place, and every kind of wickedness that takes place. Can any of those sins, can they be forgiven? Absolutely, they can be forgiven. But the Bible does identify them as sins. But there's another sin that we who rail on those kinds of sins don't normally put in the list. We don't normally think of it in the same degree. But it's a marker for the last days. And it says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Say that last three-word phrase with me. Nor were thankful. It's one of the key ingredients missing from the lives of those whose lives go into destruction. Church, how many don't want that to be us? So what do we need to do? Be thankful. Psalm 100 is a Thanksgiving psalm. And I want to take a look at how good God is. And no matter how bad it gets, we need to remember how good He is. Turn to each other and say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Now, when we go through Psalm 100 in our first reading, I'll read from the New King James. I'm going to give you some of the meanings of the Hebrew words in the parenthetical as we look up here or as you read it in there. I'm going to give you a few parentheses. Psalm 100 is one of the enthronement psalms. There are five or six special enthronement psalms from the Psalms about lifting Him up as King and enthroning Him in our praises. And this is one of those. A psalm of thanksgiving. And that Hebrew word is todah, and it means literally extension of the hand. Can you raise your hands before me? Come on. Not before me, but before the Lord. Can you raise your hands? Sure. An extension of the hands. That's the biblical word. That's why we lift hands and holy hands to God in worship. Todah. It's a lifting of the hands, and it's an avowal, an adoration for who He is. Make a joyful shout, all you lands. How many in this room can shout? You ever shouted once or twice in your life? Let me see a show of hands. You ever shouted? And you're being real quiet about it right now. You want to practice? All right, here we go. We're going to make a joyful shout. One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Good job. Just good job, see? Make a joyful shout to the land, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And that Hebrew word is with blithesomeness or with glee. You can shout to the Lord. You can sing to the Lord. You can be happy in His presence. Come before His presence with singing, the Bible says. That literally means in the Hebrew, joyful voice, singing, triumphing. How many have ever seen anybody triumph after a football game? Cougars? Hey! We Cougars had to come out with one win at least this year. So our title now is, we are the best of the worst. But you had to have something to rejoice about. But you know, after the game is over, those who win, you don't have to convince them. You don't have to push them or prompt them to cheer, do you? We won. Whippy ding. That's not the way it is when your team wins, is it? Wow, Brent, oh yeah, we did it! There's something to rejoice in, isn't there? And that's how we're to worship God. You know, we're actually more biblical out on the football stands and in the basketball stands and when we're cheering at the sporting events many times than we are in church. Don't you know?
Yes.
Turn to each other and say, loosen up and get loud. That's what this psalm says. Shout unto God, all you lands. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It's He who has made us, not we ourselves. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Literally, in the Hebrew, it means we're His flock. He's our shepherd. He feeds us. Enter into His gates with what? I said, with what? And that word literally means with adoration, just like a choir of worshipers. I'm looking at the choir this morning. The choir of worshipers. 1, 2, 3, shout thank you to the Lord, okay? 1, 2, 3, thank you! Doesn't that feel good? Some of you look at each other like, I've been waiting for that all morning. Wow. Be thankful. That means reverence. Oh no, there's a phrase before that. And enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts, which literally means His yard. Come into God's yard with praise. Be thankful. Have reverence. Worship. Hands raised. That's, again, literally the meaning in the Hebrew. Be thankful to Him and bless. And that's meaning kneel before the Lord. Bless His name. For the Lord is what? He is God and He's good. The Lord is good. His mercy, that mercy literally means kindness, beauty, and reproof. Even His reproof is everlasting out to the vanishing point. That's a neat phrase for everlasting. It means you just can't even see the end result. You can't come to the end in your vision. It's just to the vanishing point. His kindness and His beauty especially lasts forever. And His truth, His firmness, His security, His fidelity endures to all generations. To how many?
All.
His truth. Now, our psalm this morning really breaks down into two sections, and it gives us a clear reason to praise and to rejoice, to be filled with thanksgiving. And as we are entering into Thanksgiving this week in America, let's remember there really is a much higher reason as Christians that we get to rejoice. Let's remember why we give thanks. Number one, this psalm breaks into two parts. Number one, He is our Creator. Say it. He is my Creator. We're given a host of reasons to thank Him and to praise Him. And that may sound like a simple thing. I'm going to rehearse some simple truths with you this morning. But you need to remember and you need to hold on to the fact that God made me. God made me. Say it with me. God made me. And if you know that God made you, you're created for His purpose. You're special to God. He's got His stamp upon you. We talked about being engraved in His palms. Remember? His stamp is on every fiber of your being. How many remember that time we spoke in a message about right in every cell, God's got His stamp? Remember? You remember what it looked like? It was the shape of the cross in every single cell of your body. Isn't that powerful? God's stamp is on you. He made you for His purpose. God's in control. He's got His hands on you. He's made you. He'll lead you. You're His. Sometimes we need to remember that. God owns me. He's the owner. I'm the loner. He knows why He made you. And He hasn't walked away from you one time. If somebody moved in that relationship, it wasn't God, was it? He knows why He made you. You know, when you know you're created, it gives you hope. How many understand we literally have a pandemic in our nation of teenage suicide? Teenagers committing suicide. They don't have any hope. Guess why? Guess what parallels? The rise of teenage suicide. Guess when that really began to take place? After we did what?
Took the Bible
out of the schools. Stop talking about God as our Creator. Don't talk about God in our schools. Don't post the Ten Commandments. Take the Bible out. Don't sing Christmas songs. After all, what you have is a winter holiday. And you start taking away the fact that you're created by a loving God who fashioned you in His image and His plan. And all of a sudden, there's no hope. And they begin to commit suicide. There's another pandemic that's starting across our land as baby boomers get older. And people older than baby boomers continue to age. And it's senior citizens who are committing suicide. You know why? They run out of hope. Running out of hope. When you know that God is your Creator, He loves you. He stamped His purpose into your very DNA, right in the midst of yourself, right into every cell. The cross is in the very fiber of your being, and there's a plan and a hope for your life. It gives you a reason to take a licking and keep on ticking.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Turn to each other and say, Jesus is your hope. He's lovingly fashioned you. This little psalm tells us an understanding to sing, to rejoice, to make a joyful noise. You know, you think about the kids in the room, and how many have had big family gatherings? Ever had big family gatherings? What happens when all the kids get together?
Noise.
What happens?
Noise.
What's that?
They
eat in the kitchen. That's where the fun place is, out in the kitchen with the kids. What happens, though? It's noisy, man. You can't get them to shut up. And in fact, if you stand and you listen to the roar, it's really kind of delightful, isn't it? God likes to get His kids together in His house. And God likes to hear the noise. God's a family man. He's a dad who cares, who loves. He's the Creator. He says, I want to get my kids together. You take a look at the times when God shows up. He likes noise. You got shepherds out in the field, and out comes, you know, the whole stars are splitting the night sky, and all of a sudden there's choirs, and there's this loud chorus of angels. Praise God in all the highest. God likes to make a big deal. He likes loud people. I'm feeling pretty good right about now. Oh, it's okay. For those of you who are real quiet, the Bible says there's a space of a half hour where there was silence in heaven. He'll fit you in. But God loves to get His kids in the room. He loves to hear them. He loves to hear them sing. He loves to hear them. In fact, the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come on, make a noise. A few of you get it. But He loves that sound. When we get together, He created you with a voice. Some of them good, some of them less good. Doesn't matter. He wants to hear your voice. He likes a noisy party. Listen, when you go out to a restaurant, can I ask you a question? How many of you like to be served with a smile? You like to go to a restaurant where somebody wants you there, right? You ever been to a restaurant where somebody doesn't want you there and you really know it? How big a tip does that person get? I'll give you a tip. The tip is, you better leave this job. But when somebody wants you there, when somebody enjoys you, even if they just act like they want you there, you can tell. And you really can tell if they really do want you there. Yet there's something joyful about the service and something, an attitude of service. And God says, when you gather together and when you're in your homes, I want you to lift up a song and I want you to make a joyful noise and I want you to shout and sing and I want you to rejoice with your thanksgiving. Because after all, get your eyes off your circumstances, get your eyes off the economy, get your eyes off the stock market, get your eyes off the election, get your eyes on me. I'm still God and in charge. I'm still God on the throne. And after all, I created you. I didn't abandon you. I didn't abandon you on November 4th or November 1st or November 5th. I didn't abandon you when the stock market tanked or when it came back up. I'm still on the throne. And I still love you. You're still the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This month we need 900 of them instead of 600 of them.
Yes.
Need a few more cows this month, Lord. God's in charge. But what does understanding that He's the Creator mean to you? What does it mean that He's the Creator? Number one, it gives you a sense of belonging. You know you've got a Father in heaven. You know you've got an owner. You've got how many like after church is over or after you've been somewhere, maybe better yet, after you've been out of town for a few days, how many like coming home? You know, there's just no place like home. You like getting home to your own bed. You like getting home to your own situation. There's something comfortable about coming home. You're home with God. You're home in God's presence. He loves you, created you. He wants you comfortable in His house. Now, we all know there are times he wants us uncomfortable in his house, so we keep growing. But there's a sense of belonging. Why do some people like to know their history or their genealogy? It gives them a sense of belonging. Maybe even destiny. And in your case, your genealogy goes right back to the Mayflower and beyond. How many understand your genealogy goes back to Jesus? Back to God Himself. Your personal creator. He created you. Not yourself. You weren't created by your own hand. He's the creator. You're directly related to God Himself. Have you ever had a time where, let's just use a natural illustration. You know, let's go back to a restaurant. We like to eat. So we go back to a restaurant. Ever anybody take any friends out to a restaurant where you knew the owner or knew the manager?
Oh, yeah.
And you bring your friends in there? Feels kind of special, doesn't it? Get the, hey, how are you, Jeannie? Good to see you again. Well, I've got your table saved right over here. And the people you're with are going, wow. Jeannie knows the big dog. You know, I mean, whoa. And what would you like tonight? I'd like steak for everyone and I want it for free. Can't do that for you, dear. But you know, there's something. There's an inside track. And when you're in relationship with God, He's the owner. And He's your dad. And you're home with Him. You know, you've heard me talk about my relatives, my claim to fame before. I mean, it's really remarkable. You're looking at royal blood here. Batman, Adam West, my third cousin. Guy who runs around in leotards and a cape. Real claim to fame. I'm also a direct descendant from the Prince of Wales. Haven't seen a bit of the green stuff. Hasn't helped me at all. But I'm related most of all to God. He's my dad. A sense of belonging. There's another thing that this gives you, a sense of security. If there's a malfunction in life, there's somebody bigger than you to take care of the mess. I said, there's somebody bigger than you to take care of the mess. Anybody in this room ever messed up? Come on, you ever messed up once in your life? Come on. Well, I don't know if I ever told you the story. I probably did. I have a tendency to tell them over again. I remember being in the radio broadcasting business, just starting at this new radio station, and I was new, and the, you know, the jingles they play, KRPL, that was the name of my radio station, and I kept erasing the jingles. You know, there's this little box you put it in, and it would either cue up the tape, it was called, you know, and it had this little 90-second thing that went around. It would either cue it up and start it over again, but there was another button you could push right next to the cue button that was erased. And I'd be in a hurry doing the newscast, and I'd go, punch, oh! And that happened two or three times. And, you know, that was, I messed up. I can't tell you about the third time. I go, oh, God, have mercy. And it was terrible. I remember calling Pastor Carl, Pastor, please pray for me. I think I'm going to get fired. Anybody in this room have any technology you're trying to get started on something? Ever start up a PDA or a telephone? Anything? You know, they, we try with our technology, don't we? You know, turn to each other and say, he's being kind of loose this morning. That's okay. You ever have a piece of technology you try to get started and you cannot get it started? All this plug and play stuff that takes you days and days to plug and play? That's why some businesses have whole IT departments, because somebody else gets through that frustration for you. But when you're on your own with your lonesome, you go, oh God, please. Isn't it nice to know that your Creator knows how to heal what doesn't work inside of you and me? We get frustrated in our circumstances in life. And we can frustrate ourselves very badly. But God, who owns you, who loves you, who's your dad, knows how to heal what's gone wrong on the inside. Can you thank God today and this week for that? He's dad. He's God. And I belong to Him, and I'm secure in Him. Even in this little psalm, He's got the answers when we don't. He's the Creator who's in total control. But there's another point as we do this. You know, sometimes we talk about the Creator, and I'm going to go on to the next major point. First, He's the Creator, and then there's sometimes when you talk about Creator, that seems far away. You know, God's far away. He's the Creator. So this psalm gives you another reason to praise Him. He's not just your creator. He's your shepherd. What does the psalm say? He's your shepherd. The one who knows you by name. The one who holds you close. The one who gives you personal attention and guards you from wolves and from snakes and predators. And He keeps you safe and He's jealous over you. And you're stamped with His name and your name's right there stamped in His hand. You're His sheep, the Bible says. One of the sheep of His pasture. Now in the Middle East, shepherds brought their flocks oftentimes into one central sheepfold every evening, where half a dozen flocks would gather together in one sheepfold. And they were guarded by a porter or a gatekeeper, and they were guarded behind locked doors. In the morning, the shepherds would return, and each shepherd called out for his own sheep. And although the flocks had been mingled together in the night, each flock knew its own shepherd's voice. And when that shepherd would call out, his own sheep would come to him. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And that's the reference. That's the vivid imagery Jesus was intending. They would follow their shepherd. What does it mean to us? He knows you by name. He's personal. He knows who you are. You take a look in the Scripture and just about every encounter Jesus had, it was personal encounter. He met Nicodemus by night and the woman at the well of Samaria. He meets the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda and He meets the man born blind. And each of these, Jesus meets each of them personally alone. He's walking through Jericho. And there's crowds all around. How many remember what He did? Looks up at a tree and He says, Zacchaeus, come on down, buddy. Today, I'm having lunch with you. Out of the midst of the crowd. Out of the midst of the crowd, you've got people pushing Him and pulling on Him and pushing Him. And one woman touches the hem of His garment. And He stops the entire proceeding, turns around and says, who touched me? Jesus knows you. Say it. Jesus knows me. He knows you by name. He knows your needs. He's your shepherd. He looks at Matthew sitting at a customs table and He says, rise and follow me. He knows you intimately. He goes then before you. He knows your name. And the shepherd also goes before you. When He leads you, He doesn't leave you alone. He's already gone ahead of you. The shepherd leads His sheep. He doesn't drive His sheep. You've all heard the contrast throughout the years. The one who's a butcher drives the sheep to the place of sacrifice. The shepherd leads His sheep. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, say it with me, fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff comfort me. No matter what you're experiencing, Jesus is there first. He's waiting for you. Remember, the Bible calls Him the shepherd of a dark and cloudy day. His sheep trust His voice. And He's the door of the sheep. A stranger they will not follow, the Bible says, but they will flee from Him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. A stranger they will not follow, they'll flee from Him. They don't know the voice of strangers. There's safety in your Lord. There's a personal God who goes before you, where you know His voice and He knows your name. And He's also the door of the sheep. So Jesus said again to them, John 10, 6 through 10, Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have, say it with me, life and have it abundantly. The shepherd leads his flock out of the sheepfold to the hillsides where they graze and graze throughout the morning hours. Then in the early afternoon, he provides a temporary shelter for them, built of shrubs where they can rest. But he builds a corral-like structure within which the sheep can be protected from wild beasts. And there's an opening across which he himself lays, so the sheep can't go in or out without crossing over him, but no enemy can get in to either steal or destroy. This is what he means when he says, "I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is your shepherd, close, personal. So we understand he's our creator. We also understand he's our shepherd. Do you think, even in those two simple thoughts, there's enough reason to give him thanks? I said, do you think even in those two simple thoughts, there's enough reason to give him thanks?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
As we conclude and come to an end, this is my first conclusion. There are three thoughts to leave you with this psalm. Number one, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is what?
Good.
He's all you need, all the time, and he's good all the time. He's strong when you're weak. He encourages you when you're discouraged. He calms the waters of your storm. He gets out of the boat and walks on the stormy seas with you. He knows what to do, even when you don't. And he'll take us step by step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. There's enough light in the darkness to get the next step taken care of. And sometimes that's all that's there that you see. Isn't that true? Come on.
Yes.
Honey, I want you to tell me everywhere we're going in the next 3 years. Come on, tell me your plan. If the Lord wills, we will do this. Step by step. The Lord is good. Secondly, His mercy lasts how long?
Forever.
I said His mercy lasts how long?
Forever.
Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. What do we deserve? Hell and judgment. But we get His grace and mercy. Grace, getting what we don't deserve, a gift. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. We deserve judgment. But we receive the compassion and the forbearance of God, and we deserve worse. This week at Thanksgiving, let's be grateful for what He's done. Anybody in this room ever received mercy? Anybody ever received mercy? Ever? Ever? Anybody ever been thankful that you didn't get what you know you really deserved? Now, when my kids were growing up, I made a big deal out of making sure you were fully prepared. And when we'd drive anywhere, I made sure we had our maps. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you are. You know, I'm driving down the highway. I'm looking for three escape routes if anything goes wrong. Have you ever been to Glacier National Park, taking the Going to the Sun Highway? It's about this wide and your car's this wide. I had a big Chevy 20 van, and we're driving up and going to the Sun Highway, and my van was this wide, and this road was this wide, and there's this huge bus that's a 1930s touring bus, and they come screaming down the other side, you know, and I'm driving like this. This is white knuckle trip. It's gorgeous, and my kids are going, "Wow, look at that. Oh, look at that." I'm going, "You look at that. I'm driving. You look at that." And there's only one place on this whole road almost up to the top where you could go off and live to tell about it. You know, and next day after we'd been there, somebody went off right there in that spot. It's the only place where you could go. It was a terrifying trip. But I taught them right from the beginning. You know, you make sure you've got your emergency kit with you and you got your blankets. You're prepared. So that's my training, and I'm sure yours too. You're prepared, right? Well, how many understand and saw that in the last several months my business changed names? Okay, I'm not usually here to talk about it, but you know, things happen the way they happen, and it was time for me to make a decision on a 5-year franchise, and I said, you know, I don't need a franchise in this tiny little town, so I'm going to just do my own little name there. So with help, with legal help and all of that, I went through all of the ropes, and I changed my name. And the very day I get that name changed, spend tons of money getting the name changed, I hear back from Department of Licensing officials, who allowed me to take that name. I'm sorry, you can't use that name. You can't use that name because that name's taken by a hidden corporation. And I said, well, you go tell them they can't have that name.
got this thing.
Only you, how many understand you don't really take that tone with the Department of Licensing? Because they say, you know, they can look at you and say, listen, we got an extra person we can have just live here at your office, okay? I go, okay, I'll change my name. So I had to change my name again. And I did. I like my name. I like my signs. I like the people I get the privilege of working with. But just so you know, my hair got a little grayer in the last 6 months. Okay?
That's okay. You're just joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm actually 92. Don't I look good? So, you know, I mean, there's a few things on my mind, and my birthday comes and goes, and you know how it is. It's just a few things are on my mind, and all sorts of stuff. So one day I'm driving down the highway, and a couple of deals fell apart. That's the kind of market we're in right now, where, you know, you put lots of deals on the table, and a lot of them fall apart. You know, you twist and turns, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm really kind of ticked. Anybody in the room, come on, be honest with me. Anybody ever get ticked? Good, I can tell you the rest of the story. So anyway, I'm driving down the road, and I literally think to myself, it can't get any worse than this. Don't ever say that to God. Because all of a sudden, I look up, and I see these blinking red lights, blink, 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 and I just thought, it can't get any worse. Oh, yes, it can. So, okay, I pull to the side of the road. I'm going, everything's cool. Keep your hands on the wheel. Just keep your hands on the wheel. Yeah. 10 and 2, 10 and 2. Just keep your hands where they can see them, young man. You know, anyway, so this really nice sheriff's deputy comes up, and he says, sir, do you have any reason to understand why I pulled you off? I go, absolutely no, sir, but appreciate what you do. Support you. Be nice, okay? He can take me away. I support you. I have no idea why you pulled me over. Well, sir, your license tab has expired. My license tab's expired? He says, yes, sir, your license tab has expired. I've never done this in my life. I've never made a mistake in my life, officer. Anyway, so your license tab has expired. Okay, he says, fine. Can you hand me your registration and proof of insurance? Absolutely, sir. Pull open my glove compartment. Actually, rip the hinge off my glove compartment. You know how you do. I'm throwing stuff out. Where is it? I open up every latch. I'm looking all around. I can't find my registration and proof of insurance. I'm really a terrorist from Middle East, you know. I don't have the tan for it, I know, but okay. So I'm rifling through, and he's standing there going, rifle through, I don't know. Well, can you give me your driver's license? Yes, sir. Pull out my wallet, hand him my license. I'll keep looking. And he's out of peripheral vision. You know, you got great peripheral vision. See him walk away, and then I see him turn around. And he comes back. He never even made it to his car. And I'm still rifling through. And he comes back. He goes, hands this back to me. He says, sir, did you mean to hand me your expired driver's license? Excuse me? I handed you my expired? Who? It's September 10th, and my birthday was on September 3rd. I'm sitting there going, let's see. My license tab's expired. I have an expired driver's license. I don't have any proof of insurance. I don't have my registration. I'll see you. I'm going to have a preaching ministry from the jail. So this guy turns around and says, sir, I am so sorry. I don't do that. I didn't pull out my only final card for hope was to say, I'm a pastor of a church. I'm not lying, I promise. Anyway, so I didn't get to that point yet. He says, and he looks at me and he goes, okay, just tell me one thing. Do you have insurance on this car? I looked and said, yes, I promise. He said, I'm going to take your word for it. Goes back to his car and I'm sitting there, beads of sweat, you know. I look like I've got a number right here, you know what I mean? I thought I took that picture down from the post office wall. So I'm rifling through myself. I cannot find my stuff anywhere. And I'm sitting there, and I'm, you know, when you talk to the Lord about everything all day long, at this point my glasses are off, I'm going, we're going to have a talk about this. But it doesn't do any good. I'm the one who fouled up here. And the nicest sheriff's deputy came back and he says, you know, sir, he says, I want you to know I got you on about $2,200 of violations. But I'm just going to give you the $250 one. I would advise you drive right over to Port Townsend and take care of these other things. Yes, sir, I'm going to do that, I promise. And then I look at her, I say, but what if they stop me between here and there? And he says, well, sir, we're not out to harass you. You just show them the ticket I'm giving you now. And I learned a lesson about mercy. I deserved so much worse. And I went home. I got the things that weren't in my car that I would have really had words with my kids about if it wasn't in their cars. Got them in my car. Drove to Port Townsend, got everything updated, tabs on there, went back to my office, and gladly wrote a check. Thank you for the fine, upstanding job you do with the sheriff's department. I want you to know I fully support you, as I learned about mercy. Because I did a stupid, stupid thing. And it could cost me so much more. But the man had mercy on me. Isn't there something in your life where you can stop and say, thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me? My heart is filled with thanksgiving because I know you are good. Far more than I deserve. His mercy lasts how long? And the final point is truth endures to all generation. How many are glad that you can always rely on His Word? His Word is always true. With God, you live in a no-spin zone. His Word is absolutely reliable. I'd like you to stand with me, and we're going to conclude by seeing these verses and reading them out loud again. And Elaine, if you'll come. I want to read this same Thanksgiving psalm from the Message version. Read it with me, will you? I love this. On your feet now, applaud God. Come on, let's applaud. Yay, God! Bring a gift of laughter. Haven't we laughed a little today? Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into His presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. Well, that sounds like double talk, but the point is, God is God. He made us. We didn't make Him. We're His people, His well-tended sheep. Listen to this. I love this. I love this next phrase. Enter with the password, thank you. Come on, stop there for a moment. Enter with the password, thank you. Lord, You're so good. We've got so much to give You thanks for. Thank You. Can you blow Him a kiss? Go ahead. Thank You, Lord. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank Him, worship Him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal, always and ever. Now isn't that good news? In the midst of a dark time in our society, don't you have good news? Jesus, we just want to thank You. Thank You for being so good. Father, today we stand in thanksgiving and we give You praise. And we come with the password, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for being so good. Much more than we deserve. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for being Creator. Thank You for being Shepherd. We love You, Lord. And all the people said, amen. Now, if you're here this morning and maybe you need to repent of sin and enter in with fresh cleansing to Jesus, stop long enough and do it and give Him thanks. If you need healing in your body, come receive prayer. We'd be honored to pray with you. If you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, I urge you to do so.